Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world. And that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. Yep, 5 whole stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything too. Go nuts. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world. That being said, let's trek further down the path of
backing musician versus boss. In this episode, we're going to delve into the epic battle between the backing musician and the boss, the eternal struggle between good and evil, rich and poor, accompanist and leader. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating just a little bit. I do feel like we upped our production value though there, you know, just for the intro. We haven't done anything like that before, you know?
Yeah, that was definitely there. You got some good voiceover going on.
I don't know. I don't really have it, but that's the best I can do. It's like those honest movie trailers.
Oh, yeah. You got to check out Pitch Meetings on YouTube too. Man. Oh, my God. Some good
that's
stuff.
That's good. All right. So anyway, in the professional music scene, there's often a divide between those who get hired to perform and record and those who lead their own projects and do the hiring. We're not really going to talk about the tension between these two roles, even though, you know, my intro kind of sounded like we were going to do that. That was just for fun. Instead, this episode will be about the pros and cons of both sides and what to be aware of as a backing musician or a boss. First, let's talk about backing musicians or accompanists. It doesn't really matter what term you're using here. It's just about, touring musicians, session players, union musicians, you know, anyone who plays with orchestras on Broadway for film and TV sessions, studio musicians, basically any gig in which you're hired.
I prefer hired gun. Sounds cool. I'm a hired gun.
it's like really? A Top Gun. Yeah, no, yeah. It's a hired gun. But
are you in the NRA? No.
No, we don't do that. We don't believe in war. Unless it's against the boss. No, we're not doing that. But anyway, so the first point we're going to discuss here is that your livelihood really depends on someone else, right? I mean, you need to be called for the gig to make money. Right, Jake?
Yeah. I mean, you put a lot on the line by going down that path, but it's great too. When it works out.
Yeah, you put a lot on the line. And let's break down the good and the bad from this, the pros and the cons. First, the good. So your job is to perform at a high level. And for some people, that's all the responsibility they want. You know, not everyone wants to be in charge. And also, if you're in demand in a scene, you could be working a lot and making a ton of money. If you have a regular gig in an orchestra or a Broadway show, it's also a nice paycheck. And not dealing with the stress of booking gigs, paying musicians, and all the other business stuff can be kind of freeing. Also, if you get gigs with high-profile artists, it can end up boosting your stock and name recognition in the business, which could lead to all kinds of endorsements and press and promotion and more. You know, it's like back in the day when people played with Miles Davis, they had a career after it, and they're still gatekeepers in the business.
Yeah, I like that term, gatekeeper. I think of, like, Matheny as being that now. Whoever he hires ends up being, like, it just steps them up and they grab their own career after that.
Yeah. I mean, he only hires great musicians. Sting did the same thing. There's a lot of people that are known for hiring great musicians.
Yeah.
But, it's great. If you can get with a successful artist, you can also make a ton of connections and hopefully it'll help you for the rest of your career, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it leads to production, to songwriting. People want to work with you, you know?
Absolutely. So the cons. If you're playing with an artist and he or she stops playing, you're out of the gig, right? This could be illness. It could be due to death in some cases, unfortunately. It could just be because the artist stopped working for other reasons. A good friend of mine was in David Archuleta's band. This is just an example from American Idol. And they were doing a tour and all of a sudden he decided to be a missionary in Chile for 2 years. You know, he stopped playing music for that entire period, and he just devoted it to the church. Another friend of mine had a 2-month tour booked with a major pop vocalist that we will not mention her name. And she canceled the entire tour less than a week before they were set to go out.
Oof, that's brutal.
And, you know, just because the single wasn't charting well enough. And in both these cases, there's no severance package. There's no anything. It's just the way the business works, you know. Both of these guys, they turned down a fair share of work in town. They were depending on the money, and they had to hustle and get gigs back. I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they'll just cut the budget, too. The label will just be like, you know what? we can't afford this tour. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, totally. But it's, you know, it always seems to be after you've turned down the gig with, you know, whatever. You know, you've turned down this major gig. Someone else calls you for another thing. You're like, oh, no, I got this other thing I got to do. And that's how it works.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're just starting in that world, too, you buy what you need. Like, maybe you're not getting free gear or anything yet.
That's
you,
true.
Yeah, that can happen in the beginning.
Yeah, so you mean you ended up getting like a 335 for the gig or something like that.
And, I mean, think about it. If you're just getting into the game and you get your first big gig, like if you're working with a music director, they're going to want certain things.
You know, in-ear monitors.
They expect you to have certain stuff at that level, you know. So it can be difficult in that sense.
And lastly, if you're a backing musician and you're not getting called, that's obviously a bad thing because you can't make your rent. And some people are getting called, but not that much. And then they get lowballed and they have to take the money because they're in no position to barter.
This is where teaching comes in handy because if you think about it, if it's really slow for you, you might kind of veer off and start taking jobs that are like becoming more and more time consuming. And then all of a sudden you're like not in the scene anymore. To work in the scene, you have to be around and people have to know that you're around. So it gets tricky. Like if you have to make money different ways, you might kind of lose yourself and not be a part of that scene anymore. And then you're definitely never going to get called. So it's tricky. Teaching is like a great, you know, thing that you can do so you can live, but still hang and like be around to get called.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that that actually is something that we can go into in another podcast completely too, because teaching is something that you can do that you might have passion for and you can make money, but it doesn't fall into the backing musician or boss category. And there's a lot about that. There's other things that we'll talk about later, like production and composition and writing songs. And there's a lot of ways to diversify and make money in the business. But
I would even say like teaching is like the water of the musician career. You know, it's just omni everything. It can solve so many problems. Yeah, we'll get into that in a different podcast.
Yeah, we'll get into that in the next one. But I mean, for now, let's say you're not getting called for gigs in town. You know, one thing you can do is book your own gigs. You know, we'll talk about that more in this podcast. But, you know, if you book your own gigs and make your own scene, that's helpful. But let's move on to the next point. The next point we're going to talk about here is being fired or let go. Since there's typically no HR departments or write-ups in the corporate world, you can kind of just lose your gig with absolutely no notice, and it's happened to pretty much everybody I know.
Yeah, and sometimes you can ask why, but sometimes it's better to just not, and you know, maybe you'll find out down the road. But
yeah, I mean, you could always try to find out. It's always nice to ask why if you do it politely. Yeah. At the same time, you don't want to, you know, have an attitude. But let's break this down into the pros and the cons again.
Con.
Exactly. Con. Are you talking about the saxophone brand? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I know. It's a Star Trek reference. I know. So the good. All right. The pros. Not much good about being fired, right? But shit happens sometimes. Hopefully the silver lining here is that you learned from the experience somewhere and that you'll be better and smarter the next time around. For instance, if you're replaced by a musician who can double on more instruments or sing backgrounds or whatever it is, you should learn from that experience, add some tools to your skill set, and be better next time, right? Make yourself more valuable.
Yeah, everything is a lesson for sure.
Now we'll talk about the bad here, the cons. Being fired sucks. It happens all the time as a backing musician. And, you know, we've talked about how to keep your gig in other podcast episodes. But even if you do everything right, as Jay Deal just said in a previous podcast episode we did, You can be let go from a gig. It's just life.
It could literally be the sneakers that you wear just weren't jiving with the artist. Right. You know what I mean? Or, like, it can be something so personal or so mundane or just nothing at all that they just wanted to change, you know?
Yeah, or a childhood friend of theirs is now old enough to get the gig, or someone else moved into town that they knew in college, or you know, the manager is pushing for someone, or the MD has someone they want in.
And it happens. It happens to like the cream of the crop too. So it's just like, yeah, you can never let it get you down. It's part of the whole lifestyle.
So I don't want to get too deep into how not to get fired, because, like I said, we touched upon this in the past or in other episodes. The artist, the musical director, they could be looking for a simple change, different vibe, different skills, different look. It's just like we were talking about. It's the business, and if you're a backing musician, you have to understand that you can always get fired. And if you do, play it cool, that's for sure. You don't want to burn bridges. And this is another thing Jay was talking about. Let's say the musician that replaces you on the gig doesn't work out. Guess who could get the call, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it could be you again. You know the book, right? You know all the songs. You already did it. Unless you go out and you say, who's with me?
I mean, think about it like in Richard Pryor terms. I think he was married like 5 times, but he was married to the same 2 women twice.
So really?
It can come back around. Like you can get the gig back. Like that happens all the time too. So never burn a bridge, basically.
That was an interesting one. I like the Richard Pryor reference. That's good.
Yeah.
He's the man. I'm going to make one quick aside before we get to the next point, and it's about image. Depending on what type of gig you want to do, I would say that the rule of thumb is you should always look good. You should always try to look well-dressed and groomed. But if you're going after certain types of gigs and certain paths, image is a little more important, and you have to be aware of that. You can't fight the system. I've done some pop auditions where there was bass. I'm a bass player, right? And there was bass in the monitors on the playback where I was playing too. So they really didn't care what I played like. They just cared what I looked like while I was playing. And, you know,
that's an awkward situation.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation. And like I said, maybe the guy has a blue mohawk, or there's a girl with like a cool facial tattoo, or it doesn't, like, whatever they're looking for. Or maybe they're looking for you. You know, you could be the right look. But some gigs, you go to an audition and everyone can play the parts. They're not difficult parts, and it has to do with how you look. And you have to be okay with those situations if you're looking for those types of gigs. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, know what you're getting into.
The next point that I want to make is that you have to be in charge of yourself. And what do I mean by that, right? Well, if in your life you're used to someone taking care of you, reminding you of important events, organizing your schedule, nagging you to prepare for things, you'll be entering a very different world here. You're in charge of performing at the highest level, right? No matter what you're going through personally, if you're sick, hurt, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're a musician for hire, and you're hired to do the job. And there's pros and cons to this too, right? So the good, the pros. If a band leader or someone else in the band does some terrible shit or says something super offensive, you can safely disassociate from that person, and people should understand that you were just working in that situation. You're a work-for-hire relationship, had nothing to do with this scandal or whatever happened with that person. If the band leader...
All I can think of is Twitter.
Oh, I know, right?
Worst thing ever.
And if the band leader or band is having money problems, that should also technically not be your concern, right? You negotiated your rate, you're providing a service. Of course, for some band leaders that suck, and they're going to try not to pay the musicians if they're having problems, but that's never okay, and we're going to talk about that later. All right, the bad, the cons. You're in charge of taking care of yourself, and everyone's concerned about their own well-being and position in this gig. Yeah, you have friends in the band, you hang out, you're all cool, but if something happens to you on the road, you might not have a lot of help.
Didn't that happen to you at some point? I remember you telling me some weird story about that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I was on this gig, cross-country tour, when I was about 19 or 20. I got bronchitis in Arkansas. And after the gig... I know.
Is that from Dante's Inferno? Is that one of the rings? Bronchitis in Arkansas.
Pretty much, yeah. It was a terrible situation. And anyway, so after the gig, which I suffered through immensely, like, they just gave me the keys to the bus. The band gave me the keys to the bus and said, you can drive yourself to the hospital.
Well, you had to drive the bus?
Yeah, terrifying. I had to get there. Yeah, and I did just that. Man. There was no Uber back then, you know? I did that, and I didn't blame anyone for not coming to the ER with me. I mean, of course, I'm human. I would have liked the help and the sympathy, but it wasn't their job to do that, and I had to handle myself, and I dealt with it, right? It's a terrible situation. I hope that other bands, you know, have more camaraderie, but you can't depend on that. And
that's such a road dog move. I love it.
I know, but the truth is, like, you just have to handle yourself, and you can't whine about it. You just have to deal with it, get better, and do the gig, or else you're not dependable. It's the way life is. On a different note, you know, you can't expect anyone to take care of you on the road. Like, if you need to be down at the lobby call at the bus, and you are sleeping, and everyone else gets down to the bus except you, it's a bad look, right?
That's a
bad
situation. You can't be mad at the
bandmate that's across the hall for not knocking on your door. I mean,
yeah,
again, that would have been great if someone helped you out, but they don't need to, and they're not required to. It's all on you, and it's your fault, not theirs. The next point is about getting your music or skills out there to a different audience. You know, for instance, you may play guitar, backing an artist, but you can also produce and write your own music, and you do that on the side. The good about this is, you know, if you write music and if the artist you play with is amenable to hearing what you have to offer, you may be able to get he or she to co-write with you, or maybe they'll just want to simply, you know, perform one of your original tunes.
Do not push that stuff.
No. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but let me just talk about the pros. If the artist is successful, right, or on the cusp of a breakout, you know, this can make your career. And this is what happened with Jesse Harris when he was in Norah Jones's band. You know, he was a singer-songwriter, guitarist. You know, I played with him with another singer-songwriter, actually, before he was with Norah. And he always would bring songs to the artist. He brought one to the woman I was playing with as well. And he said, hey, you want to sing one of my tunes? And he did that with Norah. You know, he did it in the right way, which we'll talk about. And the song was called Don't Know Why. And Norah liked it. And Blue No liked it. And the rest of the world liked it. And now he's, you know, set. You know, you could be a producer. And, you know, you might have other skills like Jay talked about. Jay Deal talked about in the other podcast. If you do it properly, you can let everyone know what you're capable of without overstepping. But just as Jake alluded to, the bad. What's the bad here, Jake?
You can't push that stuff. And, you know, you can't just insert yourself into conversations like that, because sometimes it's a very touchy subject as far as writing, you know, creative rights, all that stuff with artists.
Yeah, man, you got to know your lane sometimes. And there's times, and, you know, Jay said it really, he said it in a really good way on the podcast. He said something like, you know, there's ways of saying that, you know, you're on the level with what you're talking about without asking to be involved. You're just like, hey, you know, I also do blah, blah, blah. Like, we should get together and hook up sometime and maybe do some fun stuff. You know, like something mellow instead of...
Like Ron Jones preaches that too.
Yeah.
You kind of want to make them wonder, you know, and just like they know for some reason in the back of their head that you can do all this stuff, and they don't even know why or how they know it. And then they'll ask you about it. Like, hey, you write, don't you? Like, yeah. You ever want to sit down? I'm always down, you know?
What it comes down to is, if you're hired in a band to be, let's say, a guitarist or a bass player, it doesn't really matter. And then you start saying, hey, but I can also do production, or I'm a really good musical director. Like, right away, you might piss off the MD. You know, you could piss, like, maybe the keyboardist produced the record. Like, you don't know, but whatever the case is.
This business is
you want to be strategic.
It's a jungle, man. Like, I mean, you got to think of it like a pride of lions. Everyone is protecting their jobs. It's
true,
especially now, because the stuff, you know, it's scarce. So just, you know, always be careful. But that's the thing. If you're a people person, then you kind of can feel all this stuff out. So, you know, at the same time, we're not trying to like make you afraid of ever talking about anything.
Yeah. And in the right situation, it could be like Jesse Harris, where you meet an amenable singer-songwriter, and they're on the cusp of stardom, and you have a perfect song, and it just, It just sends you to the moon, you know? All right. Now let's move on to the bosses. Yay, we've done the backing musician part. All right. This includes anyone doing their own thing, leading the show, in charge, anyone that books their own gigs, manages the booking agent, hires musicians, pays them, organizes the tours, oversees the tour manager, whatever. We'll mainly talk about band leaders for now, as opposed to those who lead orchestras and Broadway bands, because, you know, we have to kind of do this in a less than a 4-hour time span.
Definitely.
So the first point here is that you're in control of your monetary destiny, and that's for sure. The good is that you're in a position to make more money than the rest of the band. If you negotiate correctly and, you know, you're doing well enough and you have enough clout, if you do all the work, you're entitled to a leader's cut, which is more than the rest of the band. But basically, you're investing in you, and if it works out, you're going to reap the majority of the rewards, and that's something that you have to remember.
Yeah, which is fine with musicians, too. It's like the more successful the artist is, that's great for the musicians, too. You know, we're never going to be like, why are they making more money than us? We all understand how it works.
Yeah, of course. So the bad in this case is if you book a gig and the money doesn't come through, you have to pay the cats. You have to pay everyone that you hired. You can't just say, oh, I didn't get paid. Sorry. You know, if you don't pay people, word will travel fast and no one will want to play with you.
That's definitely happened to you out here in LA, I'm sure.
Totally. It's totally happened to me. It's happened to pretty much everyone. But I got called by this drummer in Los Angeles with some really good players. And we did this gig and he didn't get paid by the club for some reason. And he made the wrong decision and decided not to pay us.
Like, it sucks. Like, we're not saying that doesn't suck, but like, there's ways to go about that type of situation.
I mean, if he had said, look, the club screwed me, I need a few weeks to get the money together, can you just wait a minute? You know, I think everyone would have been fine with it. You know, it's not like we didn't like the guy or we're friends, but it's just never okay to not pay people, not say anything, just be like, oh, there's no money. Because he called us to do the gig and promised us.
You got hired. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's that. Like, it's you were hired to do something.
It's not about being a cold, unsympathetic robot, you know? It's about business. If I decide to make my living as a musician, that means I got to pay my rent and expenses, right? There's insurance. There's all kinds of shit that you have to pay for. And it's serious. And as a boss, you need to pay people what you negotiated. Here's a random tidbit to illustrate this, hopefully. If you owned a music venue, right, like a club, and your lights stop working, and you hire an electrician, like, do you think it's okay to say, I can't pay you today because no one came to the club last night, but it's not my fault, you know what I mean? Like, how many electricians do you think would be cool with that?
I mean, you could definitely try.
Yeah, you could try, exactly. But, you know, musicians shouldn't hold them. They should take themselves seriously, too. And although we're friends, we need money to survive, and shouldn't be a disconnect there. And, you know, if it's your really, really good friend or family, you can say, look, like, I know that you got nailed. Like, you don't have to pay me, pay the other cats. But they shouldn't say that. You should offer that, you know?
Yeah. There should just be some sort of dialogue, you know, depending on how much you know this person or whatever. Like, it's just not, it's never good to just be like, yeah, we didn't make any money, so I can't pay you guys. That's not how that works.
And you know what happened on that gig? There's three other musicians besides him that never played with him ever again. And that's a really, it's like, you know, when someone says they loaned someone $20 and they never paid them back and they lost a friend over $20 or $50 or $100, it's never worth it. It's so stupid. Anyway, let's move on. All right. The next point here for the boss is that you're going to be managing everything. The good and the bad, we're going to put them together, is that different levels of success, you're going to have help in certain areas, but in general, you're going to need to know how everything works. In the beginning, this will mean you're going to have to book your own gigs, negotiate rates, promote, set up rehearsals. Maybe you're going to have to pay for a record, manage a tour, do whatever. When your thing becomes more successful, hopefully you can hire people to do this stuff for you. But then you're going to have to manage them, booking agents, maybe designers, promoters. You need to know how to manage them to make sure they're doing their jobs better than you could do it yourself. And if they don't, then you should fire them and do it yourself. But it's important to know the job, the role, so that you can manage people and get them to work for you.
And not just managing, but like what they need from you to be efficient.
Totally.
That stuff, we're definitely going to do an episode on just all of that, like how to deal with graphic designers, video editors, all that stuff. That's, you know, those are important things.
If you don't feed those creative people with the right information, they're never going to get your vision if you can't explain it.
Exactly.
The next point about being a boss is if you do the right things, you can push your name out there. The good with this is if you're not getting called in the scene, like we said before, make it happen for yourself. Book gigs, hire the players that you want to play with. Make sure to play super well, treat them well, always pay them, like we said. Don't not pay them, please. This is networking gold. You're paying cats to play with you, and if the gig goes well and it's fun, then you're pushing your name into the mix. It's just a great way to get out there and make a good hang and make friends too.
Also, just want to add in, like, loyalty to your musicians is nice. Like, when I see artists, if they're playing with the same people that I see them play with before, I actually really like seeing that because it creates a unit. Like,
true.
This isn't the 70s, 80s, and 90s, so I don't expect to see, like, bands anymore. I always expect an artist and then backing musicians.
Right.
But if you can get any sort of, like, crew that you're always with or mostly with, then it kind of feels like a band, which is nice because, like, people love bands, and bands are kind of dead, you know? So yeah. if you can stick with some cats, I recommend that. You
know? It also makes me feel, and I don't know if it makes other people feel the same way, but I feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy about it when I see that, because I feel as if they're more of a family.
Yeah. I mean, last night I was at a show and the artist had the same cellist that I saw her with, and it was just awesome. I'm like, I love this duo. And that's all it was. It was just two people. And I was like, this is freaking awesome. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So now that we've talked about the good, let's talk about the bad in this situation. So like I said before, if you don't pay people, the word will get out and you'll be totally screwed. No one will want to play with you and you won't be taken seriously. And that kind of reputation is super hard to reverse. So getting your name out in the wrong way is no good. So be cool.
Yeah, it's worth taking the hit sometimes. If it's a financial hit, like it, it's worth it. Just take it. It's going to be worth it down the road.
Also, don't be an asshole band leader. Don't be a band leader that's really rude on stage or just calling musicians out on the microphone or doing something or whatever. I mean, I have horror stories, but don't be that band leader. That also travels around and people don't want to play with those people either.
Don't be, you know, Joe Zawinul to Jocko.
Exactly. All right. Another way to be a boss is to do a solo project, but I mean solo as in playing by yourself. So if you can perform solo and make really cool creative music, this can be another great way to get your name out, make some money, and since the overhead is so low, it shouldn't be that difficult. You can also play in more flexible venues and spaces, even house parties. We just did this thing with Bruce Foreman, Jake, and you know, we were talking to him about where he plays, and he has this new thing called the Red Guitar, which is super hip. And he just goes out solo, and it's kind of a music performance where he tells a story and plays guitar at the same time. And he can do it at house parties. He can do it anywhere. And he talks about venues. This is kind of off the point, right? But he talks about venues as you're renting a space.
Yeah, like it's real estate, basically.
Yeah, it's real estate. And I thought that was super cool. He says, you know, if you're going to rent a space from a club owner, meaning that you have to sell a certain amount of tickets to get or get enough people in the door, you're basically renting them space. Why not actually rent a space or just do it in some strange place like a house?
There's definitely sort of a struggle going on between the musician world and the club owners. They seem to just be doing less and less for any of us. So yeah. House parties are a big thing now. Mm-hmm. Live streaming, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's another topic, right? But it still kind of relates to this. You know, Jen Hsu's another one. Jen, we just did a podcast episode with, and it's the same kind of vibe. She's a master at booking these solo shows and being engaging and getting her name out.
And to kind of swing it back around, if you don't perform solo too much, take some lessons. Like if you feel like your guitar playing or your piano playing is a little weak, so you're scared to play out, guess how you could meet musicians and essentially start a band mm-hmm. later on is just take lessons. Like, oh, I'm going to take guitar lessons. And then you start talking to the guitar player that's giving you lessons. And then all of a sudden you round up some musicians that person knows, you know, so this stuff all just cycles.
That's true.
But definitely be able to play alone, because it'll be easier to tour. It'll be easier to support and go on tour with someone else. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you gotta have that, but also make sure that you can do it. Like, there's nothing worse than seeing, you know, specifically like a singer songwriter that could barely play the instrument, depending on the songs. I mean, you know, don't let it look bad if you're not up to par yet, you know?
Right. Yeah. Do it if you can. Don't do it if you can't.
I love that motto. Do it if you can. Don't do it if you can't.
It's a bumper sticker, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So here's some general tips about being a band leader. There's no good and bad about this. This is just some tips. All right. Be cool. Don't be an asshole. Treat everyone with respect. Don't make it a pain in the ass to do the gig. If the gig needs charts, make them accurate, legible.
You had me at make them.
Exactly. Make them. Also, make it easy for talented musicians to come in and crush the gig and have fun. Don't make it too difficult. It's not fun if the charts are a mess, if no one knows what's going on. You know, cats will be put off.
Understand that, like, musicians have a rule too. Like,
yeah,
we always kind of say this in the background. Rehearsals are not to learn the songs. Rehearsals are to, like, polish the performance. So mm-hmm. technically, as a musician, we go in, like, ready. We're ready for battle. So
yeah.
You always want to keep that in mind as an artist. Like, you're polishing a performance at a rehearsal. You're not learning the song. So do whatever you can to make it easy for the musician to bring that.
Yeah. Also, you should know what you want from the musicians. You know, it's okay to not know everything and say, okay, you know, the guitar, I just need a guitar to do something airy here or something like that. It's cool, but, you know, but you should also be able to know what you want, or at least know how to say what you don't want, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice to give people direction and to tell them where you want them to shine and not shine. It shows that you have a vision, you know?
Exactly.
But basically just understand that although your gig may be awesome and fun and, you know, you're going to be more into it than the other musicians on the gig. And some musicians might not even be into it at all. And that's okay. It's your gig.
And if they're professional enough, there's, like, you would watch them perform your music like they made it and it's their own. That's you know, as a musician, that's how you should right. bring every performance, whether you like it or not. That should never matter. Right. Perform it like it's yours.
I mean, it is possible that everyone's going to think your gig's so much fun and so cool and the best music they ever heard. But, you know, don't worry about it. Just, you know, like I said, make it fun, make it easy, make it cool. And then people will dig doing it. But like I said, don't take it personally if a musician cancels a gig for a higher paying gig or gets a sub. Your gig is going to be the most important thing in the world for you only. But if you think like that, you know, you should be good to go. Like, it's not always the most important thing for other people. Matter of fact, it won't be. But for you, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's your baby.
And if you guys hear any cats in the back here,
yeah,
it's because I have these two cats are going absolutely bonkers. Pony and Chi-Chi.
Get some jazz cats over there.
Yeah, Pony and Chi-Chi are going bonkers, and they want to explain what it's like to be a boss or a backing musician.
They have the same name, just different. It's Sharp 11 and Flat 5.
Yeah.
That's what I would name them.
Sharp 11 and Flat 5.
You're the same, but brothers. Different. Yeah.
Oh, C flat and B.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. I've been working through this Rachmaninoff piece, and it's in G flat. I hate it. It's horrifying. Uh-huh. I hate C flat. Like, why? Like, why? Why do you need C flat?
Well, he just did it to screw with you.
That's why I told Bruce we could do his next masterclass in G flat. Adam, what do you think of, like, there being sort of a gray area with all this stuff? Like, you're a hired gun, but you're also a boss. Like, you know, that the types that, like,
yeah,
they get hired because they are who they are, they play how they play, like a Mike yeah. Garson, you know, cats like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of a lot of people like that. Antonio Sanchez is a really good example. You know, he plays in Pat Metheny's band. He also has his own band, Migration, and he's a composer. He composed the music for Birdman and some other stuff. You know, he's a super talented, motivated guy, and it just kind of helps him, you know, spread his name around. And I'm sure he loves everything he's involved with.
Yeah, it's that blurred line of like artist, musician, hired gun. It's like, what are you? You're just badass.
It's the same with Adam Rogers, Jonathan Kreisberg, Mike Moreno, Ari Honig. I mean, basically everyone on my music masterclass on our site, they have their own groups, you know, and it's smart. It's nice to be the boss and build your own thing, you know, while also doing other cool gigs and collecting paychecks. You know,
it's also healthy for the creative mind.
And it's smart not to wait around for a gig to end, you know, before you start your solo career and build an audience. You know, if someone stops playing or something happens and you're on this high profile gig and it's taken all your time and the gig ends, you don't want to just be stuck there not having done the groundwork to get your own thing going. Just do everything you can to set yourself up to succeed at every level. And if you have a lot of irons in the fire, as they say, you'll have a better chance to constantly make money in the business.
Also learn from the artists that you play with. I mean, Antonio is another amazing example of that. I mean, like with Pat, I mean, think of all the music he's played and heard and like got into the mind of a composer like that. I mean, Lyle just passed and they've learned so much from those cats. So on every gig, learn, like pay attention. You know, you can learn things, and when you're your own artist, that stuff comes back.
Totally. And there are some musicians that are really specialty kind of artists, like Charlie Hunter. You know, he made his entire name as a solo artist at the time because it was necessary. He was playing bass and guitar at the same time, which is weird, love how he right? But when people heard how good he was at it, you know, now he can get hired, you know, because he's the man at what he does. But he had to show the world what he could do. You know,
he shows himself what he can do. He smiles the whole time he plays. Like, how am I doing this? I love it's the best thing to watch.
It's the same with Jen Hsu, who we talked about earlier in this episode and who we have a whole episode with. You know, she's her own boss. She makes stuff happen. She does some really outside the box things. And if it weren't for her booking her own things and getting them out there, you know, no one would know how cool it was. No one would really have heard of it. But she made it work, and, you know, she made a space for herself, really. Okay, my last note for this episode is that I recommend that everyone try to lead their own gig at least once on a small scale so they can understand that side of it. I think it's just important. It may not be for everyone, you know, and that's okay. But I think it's important to give it a shot. Also, we only focus on two main categories today. There are a lot of related things you could do as your own boss. For instance, you might be a producer, a composer, a songwriter, a mastering engineer, a teacher, like Jake said. There's lots of things you could do. You know, I ventured into many of these areas myself, but we're going to save that for another episode. But basically, being a backing musician is great, you know, and there's a lot of pros for sure. You know, I did it for most of my life. You know, Jake does it. A lot of my friends do it, most of them. But I also think it's important to do some other stuff too, you know, just in case shit goes wrong. You know, provides a little more stability. It's kind of like diversifying your stock portfolio, you know. I know Jake knows a lot about that, right, Jake?
And also, like, shit is going to go wrong. So it's not, there's no if.
But in the financial world, right, I'm serious. This makes sense via music, I think. But in the financial world, you know, no one puts all their money in one stock, right? Like, they just put it on Netflix. And then all of a sudden, Netflix has a scandal and something happens. And then you lose all your net worth.
No one would do that.
How dare you? I know. I love Netflix.
Talk that way about Netflix.
I'm so sorry. No, I hope they do well. I love them. But if your money is split in several areas, then and Netflix gets canceled because they did something terrible. You can't cancel Netflix. What am I talking about? If Netflix goes under, then you know you'll still have something to fall back on when shit goes wrong. And like I said, you know, there's many awesome, creative, and financially rewarding things to do in the music biz that don't include being a backing musician or band leader, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. But it's goodbye for now.
See ya.
questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail. You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use on mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. Look forward to hearing from you.